that don't know me are probably going, good grief, he just sang for an hour. I hope he doesn't preach for that long. Probably won't. You never know. I don't get an opportunity very often, so maybe I might. So. Oh, I think the last time we spoke, we had a presidential race going on, and we've got a new president now, and I thought maybe at that point that I might be able to start watching the news again, but it hasn't worked. I'm still trying to avoid it. I did catch one story, though, that I thought was of interest. Did you guys hear about it? The lady who had a break-in. I guess she was sleeping. Burglar got in, and she was, of course, surprised, shocked by this, was worried about it. And she began to pray, Lord, what do I do? And she felt impressed on her spirit to say, Acts 2:38. And so she screamed it out, Acts 2:38. And the burglar froze for a little bit. But then he started to move again, and she said, no, Acts 2:38. And he stopped, and he just stayed right there. Police came, they got him, took her statement, found out what happened. And they asked him, and they said, you know, why did you freeze? He goes, what did that scripture mean to you? And he goes, scripture? I thought she said she had an axe and 2:38s. Come on, that was a nice lead-in, wasn't it? Huh? Get your Bibles out. Let's hold it up. I know you've seen it somewhere else. I've been doing it for a long time. Well, I got it from his daddy. So this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive to receive the word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. As children of God, we are called what? Believers, right? We're called believers. We take a step of faith. Romans 10:9-10 tells us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that we are what? We're saved. We're taking a step of faith with that, right? So as believers, we are inherently people of faith. All right, catch the tie in there. If I'm a believer, I am a person of faith. So why is it? Why do we run from faith or the responsibility of faith when hard times come? Notice I said the responsibility of faith. You say, well, I'm not running from my belief in the Lord. But if you're a person of faith, it's more than that. As a person of faith, it's more than just my belief in God. There's more to it. Why do we falter quickly? Why do we give in to fear? Why do we become upset with God when hard times happen? There's been a theme this morning, and you know, as they were talking, that, you know, we don't set these things up, and I was like, that's right. We don't ever plan nothing. It just happens. So if you guys see a theme, it's because the Holy Spirit's been talking and been moving and has been directing things. Now, I might have kind of geared up a few songs and stuff like that to go with what I'm going with, but all the rest of the stuff, that's just God. Why do we falter so quickly? Why do we give in to fear? Why do we become upset with God? All because the answer to our prayer hasn't come to fruition yet. And that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what happens when we go through hard times. What happens when we are tested in the fire? So if you want to open up, I'm not referencing anything specifically, but I'm going to be preaching out of the book of Daniel this morning. And I want to kind of do a snapshot of the first six chapters, okay? And I'm going to kind of give you the cliff notes here in a second. But I want to see it that it's not only just I mean, if you've ever heard the term going through the fire, Guess where that came from? Book of Daniel. You know what I mean? They went through some hard times. They were the very definition of going through the fire. And I'd like to look at it through the lens of not just a historical event, but also as a roadmap of how the enemy will attack us. Okay? So not just a historical event, but how the enemy attacks us and how he uses different tactics, even though his methods really don't change. He might change his tactics in the middle of it, but it's still the same thing. You know what's coming. You know what's coming. So first six chapters. Chapter one, we see King Nebuchadnezzar. He invades and overthrows Jerusalem. He takes captives from the nobles and the royal families. He teaches them the ways of the Babylonians, and he changes their names. All right, chapter one. Chapter two, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that troubles him. He gets angry at his magicians and astrologers and his wise men for trying to trick him. He issues a death decree. Daniel and the boys save themselves, and they get promoted. All right? Chapter 3, King Nebuchadnezzar is full of himself, builds a statue, wants everybody to bow and worship it. A plan is developed to kill Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream. Daniel is distressed to tell him what it means. Chapter 5, we got a new ruler, ghostly handwriting on the wall. Daniel interprets it. What Daniel interprets comes to pass. In chapter 6, there's a new ruler, jealousy of Daniel's in the works, a plot to kill him. All right? Is that the cliff notes? Think about this. These four guys, along with the others that were part of that community that got invaded, were just doing what they do. They were part of a royal family, part of the noble family, and things were going all right. King Nebuchadnezzar comes in and he invades. Not only does he invade, but he overthrows. He's now the new government, the new way. A lot of people died, but not them. His plan with them is to show them how good his way of life is. All right? That was kind of some of the mind games that he would play. He would overthrow a place and then begin to change the thoughts and the thinking patterns of those people there to change them to his ways. So imagine, if you will, that you're one of these four guys. There again, so often for those of us that remember Sunday school and things like that, we remember the story, and it was a nice, quick little story. But you have to think a little bit further and see what was going on. Think about this. Life's going, it would be like this. I think, what was the movie? The Red Dawn or whatever, whenever the Russians invaded. Remember that movie from high school? I know, I dated myself. Sorry. There's two movies. I dated myself even further. But imagine that. Your way of life is no longer your way of life. And if that wasn't bad enough, the guy who invaded wasn't just content to leave you over there to say, hey, I rule over you now. He said, no, let's grab those guys and bring them in, and let's teach them the ways. Let's teach them everything contrary to their way of life. Everything contrary to their way of life. You know, most of us know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but that wasn't their real names. It was Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That was their real names. Did you know Daniel means God is my judge? Nebuchadnezzar renamed him to Belteshazzar, which means Bel's prince. You say, who's Bel's? Bel's Bel's. No, sorry. Whose? That was one of their pagan gods. So, God is my judge. I'm now renamed to where I'm the prince of one of their pagan gods. We have Hananiah, which means Yahweh has been gracious, who's now been renamed to Shadrach, the command of Aku, which is another one of their pagan gods. We have Mishael, who is like God. Isn't that a wonderful name? Who is like God? Was renamed to Meshach, who is like Aku, one of their pagan gods. Azariah, Yahweh has helped, was changed to Abednego, the servant of Nebo, another one of their pagan gods. So think about that. It wasn't enough that they came in and they overthrew. It wasn't enough that they came in and took over everything. He was now trying to change who they thought they were. All right? So much that it was no longer them calling them by their given name, but by the new name, which was almost the exact opposite of what they had been called. Satan will try to change your name and your identity. We all go through fires. There will always be fiery trials. Hashtag fiery trials happen. We will go through those, and he will try to change your name and change your identity in the meantime. When fiery trials happen, Satan wants to rename you. He wants to change your identity from child of God to forsaken one. All right? He wants to change your name from more than a conqueror to I've been conquered. It's clear. It's right there. Amen? He wants to come after your identity. We also see that while they begin to fight this, one of the first ways that they fought this was Daniel said, I don't want the food. And as I was doing a little bit of research on that, you know, what was wrong about the food? It could have been that it wasn't kosher, possibly. It could have been that it was offered to idols, possibly. It could have been that taking that would make them dependent upon the king. And if there's anything that you see in the book of Daniel, Daniel had one allegiance, and that was to God Almighty. No matter what happened, no matter how he was used, he had one allegiance, and that was to God Almighty. Very first chapter, we see it. They're bringing him in saying, all right, we're going to teach them all these ways. They couldn't really fight that, but we're going to give them a portion of the king's food. He said, no, how about we eat some vegetables? Think about it. It would have been easy to eat the king's food. Then what are you going to do? Got to have some of this king's food. It would have been easy, right? It would have been an easy pass. Nobody would have said anything about it. But Daniel didn't want that. Daniel wanted to stand strong. He didn't want to defile himself. Are you catching what I'm saying? We go through hard times. But how we go through those times matters. There's stuff that happens that nobody would blink twice if you were angry about it. Nobody would think twice if you lost it in the middle of all that. But is there a way to honor God in the middle of it? That's what Daniel was looking for. How can I honor God in the middle of my situation? The Bible says that they were young men. And I think Daniel was there. He served underneath four different rulers. He was in his 80s when he hit the lion's den. That was a long time. That was a long time to go through something. A long time to probably have prayers go unanswered. But when we look in the middle of it, what's happening in the middle of that? God was using them. God was using each of them. So God was blessing them. Their counterparts were getting jealous of them to the point of plotting ways to kill them. So just because you're going through a fire, just because you're going through a hard time, find a way to honor God. Find a way to show that devotion there. We see so that was one of the first things right there. Then we also see where at some point when the king makes the big statue and everybody's supposed to bow and worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, nope, not going to do it. Not going to happen. It was done in such a way that somebody said, oh yeah, remember those ones? Because imagine the guys that you went and captured now have your position. It wasn't going well for them. And they were getting promoted. And so now they're plotting a way to get them, to kill them. Our commitment to God must be resolute and unwavering. Daniel didn't want to defile himself with the king's food. It might have been any of those things, but he didn't want to defile himself. He was doing it because he wanted to honor God. So regardless of the reason of whatever he thought was defiling it, the reason he made the choice was to honor God. He's going through a hard time. He's not in his home country anymore. He's not working for his king anymore. But he still wants to honor God. He could have gotten mad about it. He said, man, where's God? Where's God in the midst of this? But he chose to still honor God for decades. Still honor God. He was committed to God. He defied the easier alternate path. It would have been easy to give in. It wasn't if this thing goes my way, I'll serve God. He was set. He was resolute in his commitment to the point of death. And I think the thing that I have stirring around in my spirit as I always feel like I'm not communicating it well, but I feel like we've gotten soft with our approach to God sometimes and when we go through hard times. I feel like we've gotten soft to where if it's not going well, then forget it. Forget it. You know, this Jesus thing isn't quite working out for me. And, you know, somebody told me it was roses and lollipops, and I haven't seen any of those, and so forget it. And I want to say the Bible doesn't talk about that. The Bible does talk about in the end, we win. It does have that. The Bible does talk about that when we go through storms and we go through hard times, that he will be with us every step of the way. The Bible does talk about that. But if anything, the Bible shows is that people who believed in God went through hard things. They went through hard things. They maybe didn't like it. They maybe were upset with it in the middle of it. But they went through hard things. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego declared God's ability, but followed with even if. So remember, the king is he's found out that they have defied him. He's upset because once again, he's full of himself, and these guys have built into that. Oh, king, you're the greatest thing that ever come around. We don't understand. I mean, everybody else, they couldn't get on their faces quick enough, but these guys, they just stood right up, chest out, and said, nobody's going to miss. You know what kind of story they were feeding the king? The king was like, oh, well, nobody can defy me this way. Bring them in here. And he brought them in, and they got the stare down. You ever had the stare down? They got the stare down, and the king said, you know what? I've been hearing some stories about you guys not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so I'm just going to tell you that right now, this is what's going to happen. And if it doesn't happen, I've got a fire over here prepared for you. Because that's what I'm doing to anybody that doesn't do this. It wasn't an empty threat. It wasn't an empty promise. Like, I don't think he'll do it. I'm too valuable. No, he meant it. In fact, you know what? We've heated it up just a little bit more. Talking about intensity, you know what I mean? As if the first fire wouldn't have been worse enough, you know? A little more intensity. But King was getting his point across, wasn't he? You're going to do this. You're going to bow or you're going to die, and it's going to happen right here. It's not like our legal system to where it may have you do something that you shouldn't have done and 25 years later you might pay for it. It was, this is happening in the next 5 minutes. What are you going to do? And they said, you know what, King? Just to let you know, our God is able to save us. They just went out there. It wasn't like, boy, King, we hope that God can save it. They said, no, he is more than able to save us. He is more than able to get us out of this situation. He has all the power, and all the power comes from him. But even if he chooses not to, we're not bowing. Even if he chooses to spend us in this way, we're not bowing. We're not giving in. Do what you need to do. Play the music. Roll the tape. Of course they did. They bound them up, thrown them in. The guys thrown them in, they lost their lives. But what do we see? We see that in the fire, three were thrown in, but there was another in the fire. There was another in the fire who looked glorious. God, Bible never promises that we won't go through fire. But what is our mindset when we do? We got to be resolute as we go through that. Where is our devotion? Is it fully on God? Come hell or high water? Is he still on the throne? Even though I haven't got the answer that I wanted? We see Daniel. There again, 80 years old. Pretty sure my flannel graph didn't show me 80 years old. He looked like he's about 25 from my flannel graph. Anybody else? Dated myself again. Some of you are like, flannel graph, what's that? <laughs> 80 years old. Would have been easy to get a pass, wouldn't it? Well, nobody's going to think this way of me. Everybody knows where I really stand. Everybody knows that I love the Lord. They just know that, you know, I'm 80. But not Daniel. He stood up against. We see in these four guys a determination to honor God. We see Daniel before he's interpreting a dream to the king. Once again, it could have been a thing that he could have said, oh, look, I have the answer to your dream, and never give God any glory. But he goes off beforehand to give God all the glory. And say who God is. And that it's only because of this. And I can't interpret it for you, but God can, and he gave it to me to give to you. Where is your devotion to the Lord? Is Sunday just a practice to go through? Is Sunday just a thing to go through? Well, now, Pastor Sean, I can see Jesus at home, and I can go to church. You can. We got it right here. You can be at church at home. I'm not saying that you can't. But the Bible says there's something about gathering together. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not feeling confident to do that, I'm not trying to heap any condemnation on that. I'm just saying don't look for the easy way out. And for some, staying home is the harder choice. But there's something about saying, you know what, even if I don't feel confident and I have to stay home, I'm still going to make that pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage, isn't it? It's Sunday. Sunday's happening. It's a pilgrimage. I'm going For I want to go to be with other people, and I could care less whether I talk to them. Because in my mind, today with everybody that's here, it's a brand new noise in the ear of the Lord. We were able to praise God in a way that's never been done before and never will be done again. Because in this point and in this time, this is the only thing that could have happened. Next week's next week, and last week is last week. Whether it's the same people or not. I may have gone through something different between now and last week. I may have had to give him honor one more time. I may have had to rely on him one more time. My hallelujah may be just a little bit louder next Sunday because of the fire that I went through this week. There's something about coming together. There's something about when I look at somebody else and go, you know what? I know that they were kind of going through some stuff. I know that they were kind of having some stuff, and they're here. They're honoring God. They're blessing God. I love it in the chat because I try to chat with the people when we're online and stuff back then. But I love it when they get involved with that and they're putting in their amen and stuff like that. I know there's people watching right now because they're not feeling well. They're not able to make it. We have done things as a church to make sure that if you feel this is the body of Christ that God has called you to, that even if you're not able to make it on a Sunday, you're still able to make it on a Sunday. You're still able to see what's going on because we care about you and we believe that God's called us all together. So, hashtag fiery trials happen. We need to be resolute in our devotion to God. And how do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we've seen that these guys did it is you find someone to stand with you. Daniel didn't just say, hey, how about just me? You know, he got the boys in, didn't he? Say, how about the four of us? Why don't you test us on the food? The four of us will just eat vegetables. Everybody else eats everything else. If we don't look as good as everybody else at the end of 10 days, which makes me wonder, where did we get 21 days for the Daniel fast? Why can't we just call that at 10 days? Why 21? Sure, Franklin Jennison had a reason, so. But they said, at the end of 10 days, if we don't look as good as everybody else, then we'll go ahead and eat your food. And it said at the end of those 10 days that they looked better. The Bible called fatter. I don't know that that's a good thing. But they looked fatter. I'm thinking that they looked healthy, is what I'm thinking. We see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood together when faced with the king. I mean, if anything, Law and Order, if anybody watches Law and Order, we see that people crack real quick, don't we? We see that people crack when they're under pressure. But the three of them, with the king staring them down, said, no way, no how. Not going to do it. Find someone to stand with you. We see in chapter 2, Daniel recruits prayer warriors. Remember, this is when the death decree went out. The king was upset that his astrologers and magicians were lying to him. They were trying to be very general, much like palm readers of today. You know what I mean? Not getting anything. They're just saying general things. Nostradamus, just general stuff, not real stuff. And so it went out, let's kill them all. That's what kings did. Let's kill them all. And the word gets to Daniel, and Daniel said, why such a harsh word? He said, because of this and this. He said, let's get a little bit more time. He calls the boys in, let's pray, because it's on the line. And they go in, and Daniel was given the interpretation. Find someone to stand with you. In my mind, I still have the battle where Jonathan in battle, they're looking up there. The war's not going necessarily well for them. And he's looking for an opportunity to let God prove himself. And he says, you know what? He sees them up there and he said, let's throw out a challenge to them. If they say, bring us up, then we know the Lord has given us the battle. That's like completely backwards. Where are you at with your devotion with God? Are you looking for opportunities to make His name known, to make His name great? Hey, I see it looks like you might be in need of some prayer and some healing of your body. Can I pray for you? I don't want to put myself out there like that. What happens if they're not healed? Well, I guess they'll walk away the same way that they came right there, won't they? No harm, no foul. They got prayed for. But what if God used your obedience? What if God used, you say, looking for that opportunity? Think about the servant of Jonathan. Can you imagine? He's just a servant, his master, Jonathan, carrying the shield and going, well, this battle's not going real well for us today. Not doing too good. And then he hears Jonathan say, hey, I got this plan. Why don't we call out up to them who have the high ground and see if they want to fight? His servant's probably going, no. War 101, that's not how you do it. You have the high ground. That's what you're supposed to do. If we call out to them and they say, come up to us, to them, we'll take that as a sign from God. Can you imagine if you're the servant? Now imagine after the battle. Now before that, the servant's probably going, I'm telling you what, Jonathan's jumped off the cliff. He's crazy. Y'all pray for us, please. But after the battle, he's probably, yeah, back in the day, Jonathan and I, we looked up there. We said, yo, we're down here. Why don't you call us up there? You think about that. Because he was along for the ride. So when you look for something, if you're going through a fiery trial, if you're facing something that you've never faced before, you find someone to stand with you. You look around for that encouragement. You look around to find something and say, I'm going to take a stand because God just might. I know He can. Whether He does in this situation or not, I'm going to be ready. He just might. And it may just be that I put out a crazy fleece of call me up to the battle, but I'm ready to go because I know who I believe in. We've been through a battle before, and He's going to take me through this battle again. Find someone to stand with you. If no one goes with you, still stand. Though none go with me, still I will follow. It's great when somebody's there, isn't it? It's great. Not so much fun when it's by yourself. But you're not by yourself. He's still there. He's still with you every step of the way. Don't let your faith be, well, only if you know, maybe some of my friends come with me. Maybe, you know, maybe then we'll, you know, and where does your faith lie? Where are you at with that? If hard times are coming, or if you're going through hard times, where are you on that? If you're going through a hard time, what's your determination out of that? If only the right answer to your prayer comes around, is that where it's at? Then I'll serve God. Or have you committed to the process of, Lord, whether I see it the way I want to see it, whether I get it the way I want to get it, whether it comes in the timing that I want it to come in, I'm still serving you. You're more than able to do all these things. You're more than able to accomplish everything that I'm facing. But even if, I will still serve you. Even if it doesn't go the way you're still worthy to be served. Even if. Remind yourself, finally, remind yourself. Joyce, come on up. Start playing that one, that new song. They like it when I bring out old songs and they're different. And different. Remind yourself of whom you serve. Of whom you serve. Look for opportunities to be encouraged. Whom do you serve? If the Lord has answered prayer for you in the past, there's an opportunity to be encouraged. If you've seen the Lord answer prayers for somebody else, there's your opportunity to be encouraged. If you don't have either one of those, crack open the Bible for once in your life, please. See some examples in there. You're going to see where God came through time and time again. We serve Almighty God. We serve Almighty God. And as Pastor Joe says, that's a great place to say amen right there. We serve Almighty God who spoke and the world came into existence. With just a word. With just a word, he created life as we know it. With just a word, he created a universe that to this day is ever expanding. And they can't quite figure it out. But we got it right here. I know how it works. God said. God's got it. Well, we don't. God said. It's done figured out. We serve Almighty God. And if he be for us, doesn't really matter what's against us, right? It doesn't mean that going through what's against us is any easier. It doesn't mean that you still don't have emotions in the middle of all that. But it's at that point, because we're people of faith, that we begin to say, even though my emotions are over here, even though I may be feeling some of these things, I know whom I have believed in. I know who holds tomorrow. I know the Creator. He knows my name. And as you go through those things, once again, look at it. Encourage yourself. Remind yourself. Talk those things out. Become radical at that point. As the enemy tries to tell you that you're something else and tries to give you a different narrative for your story, you go, no, 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 that's not how it works. I know my God likes to restore. I know my God likes to take care of me. And you're trying to say that he doesn't take care of me. You're trying to say that he doesn't care about my situation. You're trying to say that my situation is too big for him to handle. And that is not the truth, because there's nothing too big that he can't handle. There's nothing too big that he can't overcome it. Speak it out loud. You'd be amazed at what your faith will begin to do when you begin to hear yourself saying the word of God. I don't know. Is that in line with the word of God? It's in line with the word of God. It's right there. Do it. Why don't we see answers to prayer sometime? I don't know. I don't know the master plan. I know the master planner. I don't know the master plan. I don't understand why. But I have determined that even when I don't understand, I still understand. Even though I may not comprehend, I can still comprehend. Because I know that he is for me. He has made a way for me. He's made a way for all of us. And if that's all he ever did, it's enough. But we see from examples in scriptures that He wants to do oh so much more. So be encouraged today. Look up, chin up. If you're a believer in God, you're on the right side. If you're not a believer in God, today's a great day to become a believer in God. Put your faith in Him. Let's stand to our feet. I probably rambled around a lot. But it seems like 2020 and then even 2021 starting off a little bit weird. It's hard. You know things are crazy when a young child walks up to his teacher thinking thoughts that he should have never ever thought. You can tell that there's a cloud in the air. And having talked with some of you, I know there's hard times out there. There's hard stuff going out there. And it's easy because the culture right now wants to throw up their hands. And I'm telling you that you serve a God that you don't have to throw up your hands in hopelessness. You can throw up your hands and say, I will still praise you. I will still give you praise in the middle of my trouble, in the middle of my hard time. You are still worthy to be praised, and I will give you that praise. Number one, because you deserve it. Number two, because that's what I was created for. Amen. This song I have decided, not completely this song, but the one I grew up with, man, we sang it all the time. And you got this mentality that said, you know what? Doesn't matter what's going to happen. Doesn't matter how it comes against me. I have decided to follow Jesus. And it was an anthem. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And we could look around and we've seen those that had gone before us. We could see those that were still going after that. They were resolute in how they were going to go after God. It didn't matter. Didn't matter what your opinion was. Didn't matter what you were going to do, because they were going to follow God. And their example spoke volumes to me as a young child. And many of you can have the same, probably have the same testimony of the places that you grew up in. Let's not fall into the trap of today where we throw up our hands. Oh man, what can we do? Oh, I'm just going to get angry. I'm just going to get upset. I'm just going to be, though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided my decision, what I'm doing, to follow Jesus. I am going after Jesus. Dean, I hope you go with me, but if you don't, I have decided to follow Jesus. Nathaniel, I've taught you for a long time, but I'm telling you, if you choose not to, I'm still going after Jesus. You see what that is? I have decided to follow Jesus. Kenny has been a great example for a lot of us. You know, a lot of you grew up underneath children's ministries with him. No doubt what Kenny has chosen. Amen? No doubt where Kenny stands. You've seen Kenny go through hard times. You've seen him go through difficult things. But at the end of the day, Kenny still loves the Lord, doesn't he? Kenny's still proclaiming Jesus, isn't he? Kenny's still going after God. That's there's so many examples in this room. Be resolute in what you're going after. Be determined. If you still have children at home, raise your children. This is what we believe. This is what we go after. This is how we follow the Lord. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Though none go with me, what are you gonna do? Still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Lord, we offer our lives before you this afternoon. Lord, we thank you that you have called us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us the strength to answer that call. Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you have offered us. And Lord, as we go through life, as we go through trials, we go through tribulations, we go through all those things, Lord, help us to always keep our eyes on you. Help us to always be following after you, regardless of what's going on around us. As Daniel did, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, Lord, help us to be resolute in our faith and our devotion in our pursuit of you. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thanks for coming out. Love you guys.